Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Hello and welcome back to the Tennis Connected Studios for August 13th, 2017. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to review the Rogers Cup from Canada as well as preview the Western and Southern Open from Cincinnati, Ohio. This week's podcast is brought to you by Grand Slam Tennis Tours. Make sure to hit them up for any ticket and traveling needs to the upcoming U.S. Open as well as the Stowe Mountain Lodge Classic event, which is taking place next week from August 22nd to the 24th. Let's introduce our co-host this week, Parsa. How are you, my friend?
How are you?
Doing great. You know what I mean? Just watched, I was there at York today, at York University, watching the women's final with Svitolina taking out Wozniacki in easy fashion. For her fifth title of the year, Wozniacki falls to 0-6. Then I got home, and then I ended up watching the Fed and Zverev match, with Zverev winning in comfortable fashion. It was a little bit of a bizarre match. I mean, it was pretty close at the beginning, and then Federer really faded away in the second set. He wasn't serving fast. He was, like, returning behind the Montreal sign. So there's definitely something happened there. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure he'll, you know, he's going to work on that in the next few days, and he's going to determine if he's going to play Cincinnati. His family is all down there, so he's going to travel there. Probably make the call by Wednesday when he's probably scheduled to play. So we'll get into that shortly. Parsa, everything that we've discussed right now, you know, the theme, and I think the biggest story that came out of, you know, both Toronto and Montreal this week was Denis Shapovalov's, result, making the semis, beating Nadal, beating Del Potro, saving, you know, match points in his first match, you know, giving Zverev a good battle in the semis. So this guy was all over the court doing great things, showing a very, you know, like a, you know, no, like, very fighting attitude and excellent stuff, to be honest with you. And I think the future is really bright for him. You know, he's looking like he put on some weight too, look some nice muscle. And so just a couple few words on what you thought about his performance throughout the week. I know we texted back and forth that Nadal wasn't at his top form. And with that said, irrespective of that, you still got to do something to beat Nadal. Right, like, even if he's playing 0 out of 10, he's still Nadal, right? And you're 18 years old. So with all of that said, what did you think of Denis's performance throughout the entire week?
Yeah, I mean, it was inspiring stuff for a youngster like that to be coming out with that confidence and the energy of his home crowd.
Yes.
He's done very well in challengers also in Canada. So he definitely plays better on home soil than he does around the world. And there's something to be said about the comfort of being in surroundings where there's positive energy going towards you, and not the drub and the dreary of foreign away countries and on tour. So
yes,
I think, but that is a signal of an inexperienced player, somebody who hasn't been out there long enough and is trying to make the outside area a comfort zone. And so what he showed from this tournament, which what everyone should learn, is he's got the talent to be a top player in the world, and he displayed it. You know, now comes a matter of getting used to it and doing it week in and week out to becoming one of the best players in the world consistently. And
yes,
that's the next step. So congratulations to him in terms of that he's shown the world that he's got the talent to be there. And now he's got to actually go and try to do it.
Okay, Parsa, and I'm really interested. I mean, this is kind of floating around, and I know there's a lot of hypotheticals surrounding this. But in your opinion, what kind of ceiling do you see for Denis? Do you see him as a top 10 player? Top 5 player? Do you see him ever winning a Grand Slam? I know it's all about what you put into it, but from what you've seen so far, does he give you the indications that he's that good to do that?
Does not give me those indications. I think his backswings are way too big, so
okay.
If the game speeds up in any way, shape, or form, or he plays the wrong type of opponent, you know, I think his ceiling is probably in the 10 to 20 range, and I say that with some hesitation because it could be in the 20 to 40 range. And the reason for that is because, you know, right now no one knows how to play him on the main tour. As soon as they figure out his weakness, which you saw Zverev exposing him, he would hit three or four to his backhand and then one to his forehand and get him to move on the run to the forehand side and then pin him to the backhand. Zverev had the right idea of how to break him down. And Dennis really was handcuffed from that position. And so he's going to, you know, the guys who play on tour and play him more often and the word gets around the locker room, I think he'll have a lot more of a difficult time of trying to figure out how to navigate through it because of those big backswings. There's not a lot of flexibility in what he does. He generates the power from the swing.
Yes.
And so the one thing he can do is court position further back, but the more you do that, the more the top guys can play angles and bring you forward. And you can see he wasn't adept at the net at all, although willing to come forward, which is good. But he, you know, there's a lot of area for him to improve. At the same time, there's some of the things that he does as well as he does right now aren't going to get that much better.
Okay.
So it comes down to his weaknesses strengthening, if that makes any sense. And that would be his neutral ball backhand. That would be his backhand side probably in general, and his forward movement. His serve is a definite weapon, and a weapon that's going to keep him inside the top, you know, 30, 40 in the world. His forehand is a secondary weapon for sure. But these days, you know, it used to be good enough back in the day to have two weapons. Now you need four or five weapons in order to really win Grand Slams and be great on the men's game anyway. So I think he's still got a ways to go. But can he do it? I can't see it right now. But maybe I'll change my mind in a couple of years.
For sure. Okay, so one of our longtime listeners, Ahmed, had sent through a few questions that I ran by you before we came on air. I'll take a couple, you can take a couple before we break down the draws quickly for Cincy. So he asks, Maria Sharapova, with all of the injuries and everything that she's been going through, she also pulled out of Cincy, which began today, but really starts kicking off tomorrow. Is she going to get kind of, you know, will she fall out of love with the game because of, you know, all these setbacks and with all of her side businesses? What's your call on that, Parsa? Do you think, or is she such a determined athlete in everything that she does? You can see her definitely having like that type A type of personality. She wants to get everything done and let's get going and all that stuff. I think she keeps playing. I think she's got at least 2-3 more years. Well, what's your call on that?
Yeah, I definitely think she keeps playing. And,
yes.
You know, as much as she seems as a businesswoman, knowing some of her team, she's all about the tennis. And everything is a function of tennis. And she recognize that and knows that, and
okay.
So
nice.
You know, there's no doubt that that tennis is going to be a main part of her life until she decides to stop, and it's going to be on her terms. But the body does play on an aging athlete pretty hard, and plays on the mind pretty hard.
Yes.
But get her to lose her passion, I don't think so. I think it's going to be something that she feels like she can't bring it anymore, and maybe injuries would be a part of that. But, you know, in terms of her interests changing, I don't think so. Not yet.
Okay. I'll take the second one, Parsons, about Wozniacki. As we all know, she lost today 4-0 to Svitolina, who won her fifth title of the year, as I mentioned. Wozniacki posted 0-6 in finals this year, as well as 0-12 in final sets. In sets, pardon me, overall in all of those matches. She's had an improvement, but, you know, she's still losing all these matches. And I can tell you, she looked fit as a fiddle. That's the only compliment I can give her, but honestly, man, and I'm saying this, and I have no problems with Wozniacki. She has nothing to offer a big hitting player. She has no weapons. Her backhand is maybe the only weapon that she has, but because, you know, how the current game is structured, kind of like how a Benoit Paire runs around his forehand to hit backhands, he's also got a massive serve, so he can kind of get away with that, and he's a much bigger, lankier player, right? Wozniacki, her serve is not good, tons of double faults, her net play, zero at the net. Forehand, she couldn't crack an egg with it. Svitolina was all over her. And this is what's happening, right? She can, you know, grind through some players, catch them on an off day as well, too. But, you know, you get to the finals, you're opposing, you know, the second best player of that week, including yourself, until one of you becomes the first best player. And it's just, you know what, like, if she comes up against a harder hitter like a Muguruza, like a Svitolina, like, you know, Serena, Venus, she's going to get cooked. And that's exactly what you're seeing. Regardless of the surface, regardless of anything that you see, you know, that's basically what's happening. And I don't think she can improve on that. I mean, we're not talking about an 18-year-old player or a player with a live arm. She doesn't really have that at her disposal. Saying all of that, I still think she should be really proud of her efforts. She's made six finals this year. She's, a bona fide top 10 player right now, and she's just going to keep going and doing her thing. But don't expect Wozniacki to be winning any big tournament soon, in my book. Part two of that question is Ahmad. He said, kudos for picking Svitolina, throughout the year. And as everybody knows that I've been backing her big time. And I mean, she's producing five titles. She's winning on a lot of different variety of surfaces. And she's proving, to me, she's like the Azarenka 2.0. Little bit of a different game, but very similar as well, too. Very footwork friendly. It's a very flat ball. She kind of takes those, off the rise shots, and she can move the ball around with a nice inside out forehand. Serve is pretty good. She was getting them probably about 110, 115 on her first serve on occasion. So I think that's good enough. And if she's fresh, she can do some damage at the US Open. Parson, moving on to the last question here is on Federer. As we know, Federer lost today to Alex Zverev. And his question was, irrespective of the Montreal final, which was a loss, how do you think Federer manages his fatigue going into Cincy with, the horizon holding best of five set matches in New York and the humidity and the heat with the number one ranking on the line? And as of this moment, Nadal is not playing at his best with his loss to Dennis last week, which, regardless of what Dennis did, Nadal was playing terribly. Let's be honest again, too, because we're straight up on this podcast. So what's your call on Fed? Do you think he should play Cincy? We'll find that out in the next couple of days. And if he does, do you think that will be detrimental to his results in New York?
It wasn't that physical form in Montreal,
it
so
wasn't, no.
so I look for him to continue to try to get the matches that he's looking for.
Okay.
But that being said, if there is some sort of aches and pains, he won't hesitate to pull out. He has expressed that he wants to play a full schedule from here to the rest of the year.
Yes.
But maybe that's not possible. So, either way, I don't think that there's an argument for or against. I think he wants to get into a rhythm and wants to play. And he's had a lot of off time, so it's a little bit tricky. It depends on, it's a tough question to answer, to be honest, because you have to be in his head or be very close to him to kind of know how he's feeling exactly. If he was super confident and relaxed, then, skip Cincinnati, it doesn't matter. If he's sort of not feeling the ball but still winning and finding ways to win, well, that's another thing. So the final was an indicator in that, Zverev is a young, informed guy who was really, really hungry, and it was very apparent. And so that's what he's going to be facing at the U.S. Open. So is he now prepared to handle that mentality in a best-of-five-set format, or does he need a few more matches and a few more tweaks? That's the answer that I can't give right now.
Yes.
I'm not him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, I think that, there has to be something wrong because, his serve, why wouldn't he serve big? At least try to take it to some breakers, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not very Federer-esque, even though I don't think he played that great of a tournament, and he was complaining about his serve. So I don't know if that's just a little bit of rust because he was chilling in Italy and, he came off of Wimbledon. Who knows? I don't think it's something major. I think it's all going to work itself out. If I were Federer, I'm not saying tank Cincy because that's like not really his thing, but I maybe play a couple matches and, if it gets really close, not really give it everything and just look to New York. I'm not going to say that to anybody if I'm Federer, but that's maybe what I do, or I just don't play. And I just go and practice and make sure that I'm 100% because it looks like the key to his success, takes time off, wins Australia, takes time off, wins Wimbledon, maybe take a couple weeks off, win the US Open. Looks like kind of that's the pattern to success. So why not keep that going, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I think that's kind of what I would do if I was, suggesting that to him. But, that's not what's going to happen. So anyways, Parson, let's get right into the draws here. Little bit more of a complete field here, but it's very similar. One notable withdrawal that just happened recently is Nishikori just pulled out with a right wrist injury. I mean, Nishikori just continues to be injured, Parso. one week after another, can never play a full season without some sort of ailment. So we'll keep a close eye on that as we approach NYC. Nadal is the top seed here, again with chances of becoming number one. There's a whole bunch of different scenarios that the ATP has released. Same with the WTA. There's so many players on the WTA that could finish number one going into New York. And on the men's side, it's basically only Fed and Nadal. And it's kind of like who does better or equal or stuff like that. So make sure to check that out on the site and you can and see all those different scenarios. So Parsa, we got Nadal as a top seed. He's got, notable. Mueller won his first round today. He beat Harrison 7-6 in the third set. He's going to be a dangerous guy. But before that match, Nadal would potentially have to play John Patrick Smith or Gasquet. Other guys who can trouble him here are Kyrgios is in this draw, Goffin, Tsonga. I think Nadal is not going to be happy with his results in Montreal. I'd like for you to share quickly, the one-dimensional aspect that you were saying. Are we sure that he can even kick it up another notch? Or is he just going to keep doing the topspin stuff and hope that it's going to work out? I don't know. From what I saw on Twitter today, he was out there in Cincy today just hitting ground strokes for 2 hours. So it looks like he's really, he knows what he needs to do. And we can't discount a guy who's won 15 Grand Slams. So I think he's going to get it figured out. For that reason, I still got to go with Nadal to make the semifinals here. What's your call?
What I was talking about earlier was, or
Yes.
what I was texting you was that his solution to Shapovalov was to drop further back behind the baseline, and
Yes.
that just really made him a one-dimensional player. He couldn't really attack from that position, and so he was relying on Shapovalov or however you say his name to give him the match, and that just didn't happen. And that's where Dennis earned it. But other than that, I mean, Nadal played terribly, and he does have to look at those ground strokes and does have to hit a ton of them. I'm sure he was also closer to the baseline and making sure that he can hit the ball the
Yes.
way he wants to hit the ball, because that's the key to the Nadal of this year, is court position. And so when that court position does drop, it's a reminiscent of the last couple of years where he wasn't winning anything.
Yes.
And that's what he was doing. So I do think that he is Nadal, and you have to figure that he is the favorite to come through in Cincinnati, and I also have him in my semi as well.
Okay. And I think, as we're moving forward, the second section is very tricky for me, for the simple reason that you got Dominic Thiem as the third seed, and you got Tipsarevic, who took Nishikori's place. He gets a second round bye, but I mean, he's obviously not seeded. We have Ferrer, Steve Johnson, Carreño Busta, Querrey, who's had a nice summer. You got a guy like Danny Medvedev, Fognini. So not a lot of opportunity here, and that's considering the fact that I think if Danny Medvedev can get through Fognini, he's another big hitter who can rob Dominic of some time. And as you saw, he's lost both. He lost in Washington first round, and he lost in Montreal first round. So I think that there's by no means is team a shoe-in to make the final four here. So that makes our decision and our position here a little bit more difficult. Mannarino's been playing well. Hossi just made the semifinals. But can they repeat those results? I don't think so. I think they're going to be tired. Can a guy like Verdasco maybe do something? Maybe Steve Johnson comes to life here. You know what? I think to me, this is a little bit of a wild card section. And I think for that reason, I'm going with Steve Johnson to make the semifinals here. What do you have?
That's a terrific pick, Nima.
Yeah.
I have so much trouble. This is a very tricky draw, as you stated eloquently.
Yes.
You think Kay is not going to play?
No,
You
he
think he's
pulled
just going
out.
to
He's
play
done.
four? Oh, he's out
Yeah,
already. Got it.
Tipsarevic took his place. He's out.
Oh, got it. All
Yeah.
right. So, I mean, it really does determine by that first round match of Ferrer and Johnson. Although you would think that Johnson has the goods to come through. And I'm going to go with another American. I'm going to say the informed guy here is Sam Querrey. I
Okay.
think he'll do okay. I think his draw works out okay, although there is a couple landmines in there.
Yes.
I think it's the kind of draw that he can go in and get his semifinal Master Series and bow out to Nadal in the semi.
I think my only concern is I would definitely have picked Querrey, but he's been playing a lot of tennis lately. And it just re really depends on physically what kind of shape he's in. I mean, he's got Kozlov first round, probably will sneak through that. Let's be honest, right? And then he's
Your
got,
doubts are usually right, by the way.
yeah, and then you got, Hasse and Mannarino. So those guys are probably both burnt out too. I mean, they've been playing a lot of tennis. Mannarino's been playing like 6 weeks in a row. And he's been all over the place from Newport till here straight. So I think, he's going to be tired and Hasse is going to be tired. So it's anything can really happen. I mean, we'll see how it goes. We got quarter number three. We got Raonic and the informed guy, the man of the moment, Alex Zverev. How will he pull up, Arsa? I mean, he's got, likelihood is he's going to play TFO in his first match. They're good buddies. Isner is lurking. He's going to come to life here. He beat Troicki today too, so actually he's in the second round already. So he's going to be awaiting probably, Zverev or Donald Young. There's Tommy Paul who might do some damage here. There's Chorich who hasn't shown me much in a while. Raonic again, who knows what he's how he's going to be feeling? But he has historically played well here. I think. I mean, if Zverev, does he need to play that well here, Parsa? I mean, we're talking about a guy who just won Washington again in a tough field. And won Montreal and beat Federer today, regardless of how Federer was playing. That's got to give you confidence, right? Does he need to really go that deep here? But again, we don't know how it feels because it's been a while for us. But this guy's 20 years old. He's going to wake up tomorrow morning probably feeling pretty good. And he's not playing tomorrow because he's got a first round bye, maybe plays Tuesday night. They might even put him on Wednesday. So if he gets a couple days off, which I would suspect, he plays like a Wednesday night match. He should be ready to go, right? And especially if it's TFO, that's going to be probably one of the highlighted matches, right? So, can he go all the way here again? Can he go deep? I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of torn between him and Milos. Milos hasn't shown me much, and he's got that left wrist injury, which, I mean, didn't allow him to do anything in Montreal. He couldn't even serve. He only had one ace against Mannarino, which is unheard of for him. For that reason, I mean, Isner's there for me too, though. You know what? I'm gonna scratch that. And for the record, I'm going Isner semifinals. What do you have? And Isner has historically played well here. What's your pick?
It's a pretty good pick that you got there. I cannot go against the informed guy. I think he's ready to announce that he is the man for
Okay.
this U.S. Open field,
Yes.
and I think I'm gonna have Zverev battling through and finding a way. I'm not sure he'll win it, but I have him going to the semi.
And again, the fourth and final quarter is not a gimme because we don't know if Federer's going to play. So at that for that reason, I can't really pick him, right? Because if he doesn't play, then that's not really a smart pick. We have Dimitrov, who looks like he's like 50-50 right now. He might win a match, he might not win a match. I'm not feeling what he's doing at the moment. Feliciano Lopez been struggling. Chung has been playing some good tennis. I really like his demeanor. He's got really funky strokes, but very professional guy, and I like what he brings to the table. So keep an eye out for him. We got Delpo, who I think if you put him in a little bit, I don't know how healthy he is either. He looks like he's struggling with some stuff too. So we'll see how he pulls up. Jack Sock, another guy in a funk. So I definitely think another, very opportunistic section. I mean, where if Federer was coming in fresh with not playing Montreal, that would have been a different story. But because of the way he's feeling, this is a tough one for me. But I think I'm going Burdick to make the semifinals here. What do you have?
I think that's a tough pick. I think
Yeah.
it does rely on that first round
Yes.
matchup there, and it's who comes through, Del Potro and Burdich. Who knows who's going to adjust to the quicker conditions better. Although you do know Burdich coming from Czechoslovakia definitely loves the flatter, harder shots, and so maybe he'll be the one that can get through it first.
Yes.
That being said, I've got to go with Burdich as well. I think he's the perennial guy that will be in definitely there towards the later stage of anything. It'll take a great effort from Del Potro, and he may do it. Burdich for me, as I'm not sure where this is going. So, Burdich.
Going Burdich. Okay. So now it's time for us to wrap up this before we get on to the ladies and we're done for today. So I have Nadal, Johnson, Isner, Burdick. I'm going Nadal over Johnson. I'm going Isner over Burdick. We're going to have a rematch of the 2013 final, which Nadal won. And I'm going once again, Rafa winning this title, going into the US Open as the number one seed. That doesn't mean that he'll end the year number one or be even number one at the end of the US Open. But that's what's going to happen, in my opinion. You have Nadal, Query, Zverev, Burdick. What are you taking?
Yeah, I'm going to take Nadal to advance to the final.
Okay.
And I'm going to take Zverev to get there to the final. And I'm going to have Zverev going back to back here. And
back to back to back, right?
Isn't that... Back to back to back, and, yeah. And claiming himself as the U.S. Open Series winner. And he's definitely going to be a Final Four guy in New York.
Yeah, I mean, that would look like that now. And his poise has just been amazing. I love the way he's talking now in interviews, too. Like last week when he won Washington, just a quick story, you know, they were asking him, so would like, you know, Jim Courier asked him, he said, so would a quarterfinal finish be good for you? And he was really, like, serious. He goes, well, I can't say that that's good for me because I'm number 8 in the world now, which subsequently now he's number 7 because he won today. And he's like, yeah, I mean, I'm supposed to be there. So if I get there, then that's good, but I'm looking to do a little bit more than that. So I love that. I mean, we would love to see like guys like Kyrgios and, you know, Tomic say stuff like that, but that's probably never going to happen. So anyways, that's a different story for a different day. Love what I'm hearing from Zverev. Just my only concern with him right now is maybe some fatigue. Even though he's, you know, 20 rebounds, crazy, crazy easy, but I think that it's, you know, there's still going to be a little bit of a hangover for him, and he's going to slip up at some point. Parsa, moving now to the always interesting, you know, musical chairs WTA draw where anybody can win, basically. We have Pliskova, who, you know, faltered as the number one player in the world in her first tournament last week right here in Toronto. She has the likes of Vecic, who has some decent results in Toronto, being Bouchard, Nakhdanovic, Venus is also there, pardon me, and Wozniacki, who's been playing solid. You know, she's just going to grind away. Again, tough for me. Can, you know, Caro make it again to the semifinals? Maybe. Definitely she maybe can, but I think it's time for another. I mean, and remember, Pliskova is the defending champion here, right? She won this title last year. She's going to have some points and all that stuff to defend here. But I think she's going to get it straight. This surface, I think, suits her. And I'm taking Pliskova to make the semis. How about yourself?
Yeah, I can't go against her. I mean, she was awesome here last year. So it's going to be very difficult for me to pick against her. The one that if I had to pick a second would be Venus Williams. I think she'll play well in Cincinnati. Yeah, for me, it's going to be definitely Pliskova. I think this is the time to ramp it up. It's sort of equitable or equatable to a professional athlete in another sport playing in a contract year. They have to defend themselves and show their worth. And
yes,
I think Pliskova
yes.
is going to do the same thing here.
Very, very good call there. And it's amazing, though, Parsley. U.S. Open quality start next Monday. U.S. Open starts in 2 weeks, man. And we're still doing this tournament, right? So, I mean, the schedule is really crazy if you think about
it's
it.
Bunched up, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's very bunched up. We got quarter number two. We got Muguruza, Kuznetsova highlighting. Got Madison Keys in there a little bit. Ostapenko. So, some really nice players. You got Lauren Davis, Suarez Navarro, Lucic Baroni. Tough. I mean, again, a lot of players could do some damage here. I mean, Keys pulled out of, you know, Toronto last week. Will she come in? You know, she's paying her really good friend Coco Vandeweghe first round. She just beat her in, what was it, the Stanford final? Right? So she's, you know, she's going to be looking to keep that going. I think the winner of that will have a decent event. You know, Muguruza is obviously going to come in playing some good tennis. But I'm going to be going with, do I go with, yeah, I'll stay with Keys, man. I think I'm going to go with Keys to make the semis here. What do you have?
I couldn't agree more. Keys for me as well. A match to look out for is Lauren Davis, and if she can get through that first match against Muguruza, that's an upset alert, as Lauren Davis is from the area. So look for her to try to get the home crowd behind her and push her to a potential great result for her. But we'll see how that goes. But Madison Keys for me to the
to
the semi.
I like what I saw from her as well too last week. Okay, so we have now Svitolina, who's going to be coming in off of a high. I think she's going to play some decent tennis. I don't. Again, you never know how athletes rebound mentally, physically, right? At this point, other notable players in this quarter are Kerber, who again hasn't done much this year at all. Safarova, who played some decent ball last week. Stevens, who played some decent ball too. We have Kvitova, Abana, who young Canadian player, one to watch for. So again, for me, a tough one because again, a lot of players who can do some damage here. It's a lot of toss. You could flip a coin and come up with some decent results here. Do I back Svitolina again, Parsa? That's what everybody wants to know, right? Is Nima going to do it again? He's been doing it every single tournament, and I'll tell you what, I'm not doing it this tournament. I'm not feeling it right now. So, for that reason, I'm going with Sloane Stephens to make the semifinals here. What do you have?
She's the popular one now, huh? Sloane
Yeah.
Stephens. Everyone saw some great stuff out of her. She was very good
Yeah.
last week, and it's something that it's tough in this draw because you can't expect Svitolina to be there all the way through. Although I do think she will win a couple of rounds, so
Yes, same here. Yeah.
it does come from that bottom half, and is it going to be Kvitova or Stevens or Kerber showing some sort of form which no one can believe in? So Sloane Stephens is a terrific pick, and I can't disagree with you there either, Nima. It's the only logical choice. Who else would it be? I think it'll be Svitolina and Stevens in the quarterfinal, and I think Stevens is going to get a big win there.
I'm feeling that as well too. Now we're going to the fourth and final, highlighted by Simona Halep, who got destroyed yesterday, I believe by Svitolina, right? It was like 1-1 or something like that. So she showed that she can, she's vulnerable as well too. We have Joanna Konta, who didn't do much in Toronto either. Other players, Taylor Townsend, who's been she qualified. We'll see how she pulls up. Sybil Kova, Elisa Cornet. Cece Bellis, really like what I'm seeing from her. Very strong player. Did she come through? I don't think you're gonna see as much of an uncertainty in this quarter. You might even see, like a Konta, Halep quarterfinal. And I'm gonna be going with Halep to make the semis here. What do you have?
Yeah, I think a terrific pick. Again, the names that I look at to watch for. I look at Konta trying to, make her damage in a Grand Slam. Catherine Bellis, who's continuing to climb. Sibakova, who's always dangerous for some reason, and we don't know why, but she is dangerous. And
Yes.
Simona Halep, who's so in form. Looking at those players, I think there's one player more desperate than all of them, and that would be Konta. I think that she has to really get there, and I think it's going to be a quarterfinal between her and Halep, and I think she's going to find a way.
Okay.
So I'm going to have Konta there in the bottom half.
Okay. And to wrap this up now, Parsa, I have Pliskova, Keys, Stevens, Halep. I'm going to have Keys upsetting Pliskova. I'm going to have Halep defeating Stevens. And then I'm going to have Keys winning the title over Halep, three sets. You have Pliskova, Keys, Stevens, Konta. How do you see that shaping up?
Yeah, I'm going to have Pliskova advancing to the final versus Konta, and I think I'm going to have Konta winning the title here, and a big one at that.
Wow.
I think she's going to like the fast courts in Cincinnati
Yeah,
too
and I mean,
much.
she showed what she has in Miami earlier this year, right, by winning that big title. So she's definitely very comfortable on the hard courts. Had a good tournament at Wimbledon as well too. So she can definitely play, and it's kind of you can sense that it's kind of the time where it's for her to do something again. And I think that's for you. That's a great pick. Okay, so you've heard that from Parsa and I, our picks and our analysis from Montreal, Toronto, and now Cincinnati. Parsa and I will be back next week to review Cincy and do our final preparations for NYC, where we will get ready to review that tournament later, preview that tournament later in the week. In the meantime, you can catch Parsa at ParsaSammy on Twitter, myself at Tennis Connected. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook. You know where you can download this podcast on iTunes. For anybody looking to get down to the US Open, make sure to hit up Grand Slam Tennis Tours for all your ticket and traveling needs. And make sure to watch out for that great expo that they have next week from the 22nd to the 24th in Stowe, Vermont. Anybody in the area, I highly recommend getting down there. You're going to see some world-class players like TFO, Donaldson, Haas, Ramos Fenoles, Pospisil. So it's going to be fantastic. Finally, Parsa, thank you so much for your time this evening.
Thank you.
Everybody out there, again, as Parson mentioned last week, if you have any questions, shoot them over. We love what you guys have to say to us, and we always take it to heart, and we try to implement it into the show. Be good, enjoy Cincy, and we'll chat with you in